This past Friday, I had to go to the store. I don't believe I've been to a store on a Friday after Thanksgiving ever. What a horrible mistake that was. I mean, kudos to the people who are early in their Christmas shopping. Kudos to you. By the way, husbands, do you know what you're getting your wife for Christmas? Better yet, do you know what she wants for Christmas? You have any idea? Well, I would get on that if I were you. And children, I wonder, have you made a Christmas list yet? Yes? No? You going to make a Christmas list? All right. Well, good. I think we're pretty good at making lists. My wife makes to-do lists. I hope she makes some of those for herself. But here's a question. Did you happen to make a list for Thanksgiving? Did you happen to make a list of things for which you're thankful? I'm not sure Jesus made a list, but you might be surprised to learn that Jesus was a thankful person. And this morning I want to look at a few things he was thankful for. So if you have a copy of God's Word, I invite you to join me in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 15 is where we're going to begin. You know, two of the most beautiful words in any language are thank you. Now, in some languages, it's not two words. For instance, in Spanish, it's gracias. In Mandarin, it's shishi. But thank you is a beautiful term. And it expresses a heart of gratitude. Now, the Bible tells us that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Everything for which we can be thankful is due to God's graciousness. Jesus, in fact, said, or Paul said, I'm sorry, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Now, there he was talking about salvation. And certainly, Jesus had no reason to be thankful for salvation. He was the provider of our salvation. But Jesus was thankful. And it might surprise you to find out that he, who is the creator of the universe and the sustainer of everything that exists, was grateful for some not so significant things, such as food. Now, it's not significant if you have plenty of it. But if you don't have it, it's quite significant. And one would be more inclined to be thankful if they didn't have it and were given it. Listen to this text in Matthew chapter 15, beginning with verse 32. Then Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I am unwilling to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way. And the disciples said to him, "Where are we to get enough bread in such a desolate place to feed so great a crowd?" And Jesus said to them, "How many loaves do you have?" They said, "Seven, and a few small fish." And directing the crowd to sit down on the ground, he took the seven loaves and the fish, watch this, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied, and they took up seven baskets full of the broken pieces left over. Those who ate were 4,000 men, besides women and children. And after sending away the crowds, he got into the boat and went to the region of Magadan. Now, we're more familiar with the other feeding of a multitude, the feeding of the 5,000. But here is a case where Jesus acknowledges God's kindness, God's graciousness, and he blesses, he gave thanks for the food. I don't know if it's a trend, but I remember back in a day when you would go to a restaurant at lunchtime or dinner time, and it wouldn't be surprising to see other people bowing their heads and giving thanks before they ate. But I don't see that much anymore. And I know that not everybody in the restaurants where I eat are not Christians. Some of them surely are believers. Have we gotten out of the pattern and the habit, so to speak, of giving thanks before we eat? I'm just asking. Perhaps you feel like it's something that makes you stick out. Well, in fact, that is a part of the reason for giving thanks. Because you recognize you don't deserve it. And you give thanks for it, and you stick out. But you stick out for the God you serve. I'm just wondering, is it possible that in our lack of need, we have become thankless people? And we don't recognize that everything that is good and perfect has come from God. Do we receive so much that thanks is unnecessary? What do you think? Could it be we're thankful for the hand of God, but we don't want to call attention to that hand? We're afraid others will see us giving thanks and will think less of us. Now, I want to tell you, friend, that is exactly what people should think of us. They should think less of us and more of the giver of every good and perfect gift. I'd like you now to turn to the Gospel of John. In John chapter 11, there's the story. It's one of the longer narratives in Scripture, or at least in the Gospels, of the ministry and life of Jesus. It's the story surrounding the raising of Lazarus from the dead. But I want you to read it. I want you to see something that maybe you've not seen before. Hopefully, if you've seen it, the reminder is useful. Beginning in verse 38, then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Interesting words coming out of Jesus. "Thank you for hearing me." Ladies and gentlemen, this was God in the flesh, God the Son, speaking to God the Father. God the Son and God the Father have had an inseparable relationship, unbroken fellowship for eternity. There has never been a time, an occasion, where one did not hear the other. Nor has there ever been an occasion where one didn't want to hear from the other. That was the nature of their relationship. But the Son of God remained thankful that the Father heard him. Now, the hearing here implies hearing with an intent to respond. He had already had the stone rolled away. There was zero doubt in his mind the miracle that was about to occur. He had even reiterated it to Martha. And yet he says, "Thank you that you have heard me." He didn't have to say that out loud. It was part of who he was. And he and the Father, in eternal relationship, knew each other and know each other. But Jesus said, and he says it out loud, in the midst of his prayer, "I said it for the people around me, so that they will know you have sent me." Could it be that's why we don't pray in public? Because we don't want people to know? Utter humility. Utter humility creates generosity. Now, would you turn to Luke's Gospel, the 22nd chapter? Find verse 14. And when the hour came, he reclined at table and the apostles with him, and he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat the Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this, divide it among yourselves, for I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise the cup after they had eaten. This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me at the table. For the Son of Man goes as it has been determined. But woe to the man who is betrayed. And they began to question one another which of them it could be who was going to do this. Some of this is a bit confusing, and I don't intend to exegete or explain everything in this text, but some is necessary. It's necessary to understand what Jesus is saying. He is saying that the representations, the symbols, that he is now instituting as such, he will not take them again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. In other words, we'll not have this meal again until these symbols have become reality. He knew his suffering was only hours away. He knew these elements represented him. The bread, his body, the cup, the wine, his blood. He is going to bring meaning to the symbols. He's going to flesh out the drama of this meal. It is going to be his body that will feel the impact of the soldier's knuckles. It's his flesh that will be ripped from his body by the whip. It's his beard that will be pulled from his cheeks. It's his brows that will be stabbed with the thorns of the crown of thorns. It's his side that will be riven by the spear. And with each poke and punch and prod, more of his blood will exit his body and drip from it to the ground, where he hangs naked for the world to see. And before both elements, he gave thanks. It takes utter humility to be grateful. Have you ever had to force yourself to say thank you to someone you didn't respect? That's humility. But Jesus said thank you to the Father for the body he was given and the blood he was given that he could shed in order to do the Father's will for people who were causing the bruising and the bleeding. I don't know what else may be on your Thanksgiving list. But on Jesus, the Thanksgiving list included food. The everyday needs. And the only thing it would take for us to know that food is a need is its absence. In order to be thankful for food that you have, you must be humble. Jesus was thankful for the Father hearing him and was unashamed, in fact, desirous that people know his relationship to the Father. In a world where Christianity is cross-cultural, it takes humility for the minority to give thanks that they are singled out for their relationship to the Father. And ladies and gentlemen, you are the minority. And finally, Jesus was thankful to do what he did on the cross. I don't know why people don't pray in public. Is it taboo? Does it put other people on the spot? Is that what you're worried about? Is that what we think is concerning? If these prayers of Jesus, where he gave thanks, do not put all of us on the spot, it's humility that we need more than anything in the world. It puts me on the spot. I can't be thankful for a body that's given for the cause of Christ because my body hasn't been given for the cause of Christ. There's no anticipation that it will be, but should it come to the point we're at the tip of the bayonet or the barrel of the rifle. It was demanded of me to recant my faith. Would I say, I cannot, for my salvation, I am too thankful? Let's pray.